Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J. And today we have a really special guest on for you guys. And this is going to be an excited show, a very exciting show. But before I go on any farther, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she don't mind taking the pleasure on bringing our special guest on.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you everybody for joining us. And just know if you are listening online, you can call in on the 213-943-3034, select one to join the conversation. Or if you're already on the phone, just select one and be added to the queue. This is a great show. I'm big on education, but I'm really excited about our guest today. His name is Jared Arms. He's also my nephew, and I'm very proud of him. From starting where he started from to create the business that it blesses and uplifts the kids in his community. So before we get started, I'm going to have Jared tell you a little bit about him. And also, Jared, while you tell him a little bit about yourself, please let them know what STEM stands for.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So, STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. And I've now just kind of added a new letter, I think, theme actually, so for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Mathematics.
All right, and tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah, so a 28-year-old, I would say St. Louisan, started off doing this web development around 2011, targeting more projects for like some of my friends I was losing in my early stages of high school. And I ended up launching a company in 2013 called Kyler.io. Well, initially I was just focusing on like building like apps and things like that for a few local experience, but initially that kind of grew to me, launching this not-for-profit to teach kids how to build apps and websites and different things like that, and just kind of grew to like what it is today. So that's real quick in a nutshell, and just regular young African American right now in technology, just trying to make a difference in some of these underserved communities.
Yeah, and you started your company at 23. Now, at 23, you have seen several of your friends pass away. What made you think about technology? Because, that's a lot of trauma. I still believe that young people that see a lot of death, they do have a tendency to suffer from PTSD. And so a lot of studies are on that, but that's a different show. But I wanted to talk about that because you experienced a lot of trauma. You saw things that, young people just really shouldn't be experiencing in their teens and young adult age. So what made you choose technology as an outlet? Because you could have started going out popping back. What made you choose education?
That's a good question. Just kind of staying like, I guess, like, not getting too lost with myself and not getting too far where I couldn't reach, like, just myself and things like that. So I knew, like, at 17, things like that, when I had lost Stacey and stuff, some of the things that I was thinking about, like, I was hearing people, like, months after the funeral or whatever, they had said, like, they lost their color obituary, or a few of them said they only had a black and white one because they never, they ran out of color obituaries. Now I was just thinking little stuff like, if I could scan the obituary up, and then some friends, they was talking about how, like, the local news stations was just putting up some little stuff that they ain't really, like, reading about. So I was thinking about making my own little comment box, and Android, it just got purchased or released, I think, one of those two. But it was, like, something in 07. It just was coming out. So in 2007, when I started losing some friends, that was just kind of, like, that's the reason why I started thinking about it, because it was new technology, like Android, for us to do those type of apps. But it was just fresh and stuff like that. And, I ain't never want to get too caught up in all that crazy junk and things like that, because I ain't create problems. So, like, I don't know. It's like can't get too caught off in the stuff like that, because you still got your own, like, mission and vision. So I ain't about to be really falling for nothing and, jumping off the board or nothing like that, because I'm the only child, and then I really respect my mom giving me life and stuff like that. So, if I got to go all out with a bang, it got to be something, like, really, like, close to something with her, something not nobody, that I'm meeting like that, but I'm definitely, you know, enjoying meeting these people. I hate that I have to lose them at such an early age and stuff, but I ain't about to jump off the cliff for nobody today. My mom had kids and nothing like that yet, so I always kind of been that conscious with it, just thinking about any situation and stuff. And, you know, I ain't about to let none of this stuff break me, so it is going to build me up to make me stronger, but I ain't, you know, just good energy and stuff like that. But, yeah, I ain't going to go crazy or nothing like that. Because what our people's been through and stuff, the stuff my mom was telling me from Black history and just learning how these strong brothers was fighting against Hitler and what our Black sisters was going through slavery, like, the stuff I was seeing, that ain't nothing. So it's just like, you know, I'm real respectful, actually, where we got it at today, bro. I knew it wasn't nothing like how I used to be, so I was like, just stay strong, you know, keep going through what it is. Don't get caught up in these logos, brands, names, and all that type of stuff. Now it's like more, you know, now we on that conscious talk, so that's where I'm trying to get to it at. Seeing the different images of Ferguson with the police officers and how you're seeing them with our people in the community compared to how you're seeing the students and the officers now that we're working with and stuff like that in Ferguson or down in the city. So just trying to, you know, use that, but can't be just all militant without having no intellect involved. So I was like, I don't want to be doing farming or fashion or entertainment or sports technology, just like the, you know, most simplest thing. So, yeah, not to go on and off and there, all that type of stuff. But, yeah, it was a lot of decisions, though, like, especially, like, when you got a lot of people that's going against, like, the typical person, I guess, like, the Urkels and all that type of stuff is, like, you either going to be, like, the smart, geeky nerd, or you got to be, like, this dumb, or you got to be this bad boy, but you got to be a smart, advanced hacker. But you can't be, like, just a normal, cool guy who is a stand-up guy who may not want to respond like that but want to respond doing something different. And this, it's more difficult to positively, like, respond to, like, say, 500 Black boys in the community, like young boys, and empower them and make them, like, multimillionaires than it is just killing my person back. So I knew, like, for the real, real problem and stuff, once I started learning about, you know, watching, you know, just different movies and stuff, being young, I was like, I got to take a different approach if I really want to try to help this. This ain't meant just in St. Louis like that. Yeah, it is crazy, though. Now we, like, you know.
You know, everybody, yeah. All the communities are struggling. And I like the point that you made is that that you respected your mom and that you knew you were her only child. Because, you know, I know people that are only children that, you know, been out in gang life or whatever. But it was interesting that you chose that on top of your intelligence and making a conscious choice just to not be a part of it, but you acknowledged your love for you and respect for your mom, and that's major. I think when we respect and love our families and you know, and those who have given us life, sometimes we make better decisions because we're not just thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about how everything that we do affects everyone around us. It's not just about us.
Oh, yeah, because this stuff, St. Louis is too small, and this, the way this stuff goes is just like being blessed. These people, they will, you know, they'll get on you and your mama in a quickness, so like, you can't be playing around out here. There ain't nobody really, like, even with the scary people that's out killing folks, it's like they don't even matter if you're tough or scary because they are guns is guns. So it's like about being smart because it's too small and you will bump into somebody. So it's like, yeah, you know, especially when you get on the bus stop and you start running into everybody and all that crazy junk, you have to compromise if you actually care about the relationship. Other than that, it's just that being heartless stuff gets serious because you got to be like that the whole way. So no, I ain't on that.
You know how I feel about that's just what I see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Young people going around killing people. I really do think that they are really mentally unstable. Okay, because it's not the norm for us to go around killing each other.
Okay,
I remember growing up, you know, in the South. Yeah, we had our fights, you know. But it wasn't serious. We fought, man. We knocked people's teeth out. We, you know, gave people black eyes, and people then gave me a couple of black eyes, you know. But you know one thing, though? We was cool after that. You know, we wouldn't go around killing up people and stuff like that. No, it just wouldn't do that. Because, you know, I think that a lot of people that go around doing that, you understand, they mentally unstable. Because it's not the norm. It's not the norm. And I think that's the biggest problem we have in our communities, is getting people to go to counseling, getting people to go and talk about some of the problems that they have. You know, because people that go around killing people, I really do think that there's a problem with them.
Yeah, I think
it's a huge
problem. I'm sorry, Jared. I'm sorry, it was a delay. Go ahead, and I'll chime in after you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I was just saying there's definitely, you know, big warfare going on, things like that, and the chemicals, the food, all type of different things. And yeah, I was just steady learning about it and all these different things. So it is serious and stuff, trying to keep these people as healthy and most aware as possible. But yeah, it is. It's different because I know, just being around a few people, like, you know, my teenage years, 10, 12 years ago, like, just some of the mentalities and stuff, like, you think you want to kind of be around people like that. But I remember some folks, friends, parents telling them to take out the trash. That irritates the kids, make them talk about wanting to hurt their parents in crazy ways. Just seeing different stuff without people hurting anyone, people still being harmed and things like that. So some of that stuff, you know, is confusing because you really can't put no finger to it. And you just try to stay away from it.
Yeah. And just backtracking, you know, yes, we do have mental illness in our community that's not being addressed, hasn't been addressed in decades. Okay, that's a fact. But I also believe when people are stripped of hope, when people feel like there is nothing else, it is natural instinct to survive. And when you are a survivor, you do whatever you have to do to survive. Do I justify killing? I don't do that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, to just label it as one thing is a combination of a lot of things that create certain behavior, especially in the poor community, especially when the young brothers are killing each other. You know, I used to always say, why are they killing? And they don't own nothing on the street. They don't own a house. They don't own a car. You know what I mean? Like, you're killing for a block or whatever, for whatever reason that they may have. But you don't even own anything on that block.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't own anything besides what, you know, you think you own within yourself. But really, like, that's not your house. Like, you're not protecting your family. You're not protecting your grandmom, your brothers, your cousins. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot that comes to it. But I don't think it's just strictly mental illness. I think it's being hungry, jobless, homeless, uneducated, low self-esteem. It's like a combination of things, I think, that make people do things or become cold-hearted. You know, I watch Vice Channel. I'm a kind of nerd, but I watch Vice Channel, and they have the show called, I think it's Black, I want to say Black Market. And they talk to people that are making money, some of them the incorrect way. And one of the guys kept saying, well, everybody keeps saying they're going to give us a job. No jobs don't come. But we watching all these other people ride around in their new cars and stuff, but ain't nothing happening over here. So we figure we go get ours. Now, for the average person, like, oh, what an animal. What an animal. But in his mindset, y'all ain't looking out for me, but y'all keep giving it to them, so I'm going to get that. So I think we have to be really open-minded when we're, you know, thinking about why our young men are killing each other, why they're building more prisons than high schools and primary schools, because they're counting on our men to fill that up and minorities to fill that up. So we got a big problem. It's bigger than just, like, one or two things. The fact that you take violence and turn to a positive and teaching technology to the youth. Let's talk about that, Jared. Let's talk about how you use that as teaching the kids, and do you talk about gun violence as well when you're teaching them about STEM and whatever else you're teaching them?
Yeah, good question. So I got give kind of two responses to it, to different examples. So one, working with some of the students, and like recently this past summer we had a nonviolent game development workshop where we partnered with the St. Louis City Police, and we had about 20 students out partnered with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater St. Louis, and really just trying to humanize the community, teaching the students and officers how to build video games together and just building relationships. And it was great because we had like free pizza and ice cream come out, media come out, Fox 2 News, KMOV, St. Louis American put us on the front paper and all that type of stuff. So it was real dope. And the thing with that was really, even though it was great to have free pizza and ice cream and partner up and all that great stuff or learn about video game development, it was more so just about trying to build communities and things like that to decrease another Mike Brown situation from happening or an experience. So when some of these students, maybe who 8 years old, come 18, see these officers, vice versa, there may not be as much tension in the street, especially due to the history that we got in the country. Then a second part to respond, aside from just talking about it, that's kind of how we try to decrease it, by letting some of these white officers just work with some of these young brothers and sisters in these areas that they police but don't necessarily live in, so they can start actually having like a real human experience with them, to really decrease it on the main level, because that's like the main problem what they doing to us. And then when it comes back to us and things like that, hold on 1 second. So when it comes back to us and things like that, for the second part, this is for some of the students who just kind of going a little faster because they got their own, you know, just paths. So we just start working with some of the young inmates, but I'm still calling them students. I don't like to call them inmates. But some of the young students that's in the that's locked up in Clayton's family court, so in the juvenile detention center. So as I'm teaching them about apps and how to do HTML and just talking to them one-on-one, one thing I was telling them, like, because I'd be, you know how I'd be, like, when you see my stuff. Like, when I'm watching things like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, I don't be trying to be, like, oh, my God, dude, just extra serious with this technology stuff. But it'd be important because, like, I remember, like, my mom trying to tell me to watch Roots. And then, like, I'm like, Mom, I ain't about to watch this old movie. Like, just being young until I got, like, 19. And when I watched it and got to take this historical field trip in Memphis. And, you know, went to Lorraine Scott Hotel, stood over, just seeing Brother King, blood in the concrete, and just cherishing black life more. That's why I'd be more serious, because I know the momentum that they was moving at. So some of them, you know, all of them not going to just catch it at once. So I had to kind of stop and talk to them, like, one-on-one, aside from technology, and let them know, you know, when I was 16 or 15 or 14, I maybe wasn't locked up in juvenile, but I was doing stuff like this and stuff like that. And they were like, oh, Mr. Arms, whoa, you did this or you tried to experiment with this? Oh, man, yeah. And not only did I try this, let me tell you about this guy, Malcolm X. I know who you all heard of, but more detail. He was doing this at 16 to 17 years old. But let me tell you about how this type of stuff came in the community. So it kind of goes from, like, yeah, I'm in here for doing this or doing that. I won't put none of their business out. But for doing whatever reason, to now they say, oh, brother, Mr. Arms, you telling me that these guns that my uncle, the big brother, was telling me they got a few years ago, that at this little train in this neighborhood, the white folks kind of put those trains there and just left all those cases of AKs. Man, you mean to tell me all the dope that's coming in the community, they putting her, blah, 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 they ain't just, I'm like, nah. So when I get to really breaking it down to them, they be like, dang. And then just to end with that answer, aside from just the gun violence, like I'll be talking about, like, you know, more the chemical warfare, aside from just the culture warfare. So I talk about, like, the marijuana, the whole THC part, the chemical reactions, what that actually does to the male and female body and stuff like that, different things that happen to the female body when the smoke hit the fire, high mix and all that, and just hit them on a different standpoint, because you usually get introduced to that stuff using, you know, in hip-hop or in movies or something like that. So it's like, as I get in the timeline to Marcus Garvey, down to this, to this, to this, to this, to Huey P. Newton, to this, to this, to this, to today's day, is like trying to let them understand that they are, you know, they are more important. It's just as important as those people, but you got to understand who you are first, what you are. So it'd be challenging, but I definitely hit it with it, go over it. It get bigger too, because we had this organization in Fiji hit us up, and it was a certain little area, not of course the entire Fiji, but this real underserved area in Fiji. And basically they were saying, they were showing me some, like, a few hours of documentaries that they had recorded from over there, and I was just seeing that a lot of people was practicing, not watching people, but I was learning about people was practicing cannibalism pretty intensely in this area for the last few years, and it's just crazy mentalities going over there, and they wanted to hire us to come over there to really just help recreate a new culture and teach these preschoolers about STEM and all this type of stuff so they could just have a different future. And at that time, I was like, nah, I'm good. I can't come over there with no history of people doing stuff like that. But what really surprised me was that I'm focusing on just these areas that we got, especially in the black communities, gun violence, HIV, high incarceration, homelessness, all this. But when you're looking at these areas globally that's focusing on cannibalism still and all that, and they're looking at us to help clear that, it just gave me a bigger vision to approach. Now it's like we hitting main areas and stuff like that, you know, trying to think more global with it. But, yeah, I definitely hit it with it on them, and they be eating the game up because they don't know it. And for me to hear a young brother, especially 14, say, you mean to tell me that they're cracking all that type of stuff and hear from them? But then when I teach them how they can make $1,000 in one day from their phone legally, then they like, man, I never even thought or knew you could do stuff like that. And it's like, well, how can you? Yeah. My thing is, as an adult, well, I know you know about legal work, so I know you can work. But he was like, yeah, I can go and maybe work and save up money, but I can't go nowhere on any of these streets in St. Louis or downtown and just get paid that much a day, but I can at your company. So it's really, it's kind of crazy what God got going on right now, but we on to something big, though. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like, it's just nice because it's God doing this. So it's like, it's so many people that's being used right now to do this big thing, and we just a small rock in the mountain, but it's good to, you know, just be a part of it.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's pretty cool you go to the, you know, work with the juveniles that are in the system because, like, you show them they can make $1,000 on their phone, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about earlier about them having a choice. If someone thinks that they're being ignored or not being shared information or they don't know about it, they're going to react in different ways, you know. And that's what I was, you know, talking about earlier. But you gave them a choice because now they know I can come out and do X, Y, Z, and I can get a job. Or I can create my own business doing this because you've given them a choice. And I think a lot of times we don't, a lot of people think we don't have a choice. And this one thing I like about this show, because whether you dig what somebody's doing or not, it's interesting that the information that's going out, a lot of people still don't know about it. You know, like STEM, we were talking about STEM earlier, and John was like, yeah, sometimes I think people know. I said, but I thought everybody knew this one because it's on TV. But it doesn't mean because it's on television or it's in the news or it's in the media that we are really processing the importance of programs like STEM, teaching our kids how to build websites, how to create apps. You know, Kim Kardashian making millions of dollars off of apps. And they're not even all that great unless I'm not understanding what the purpose is. But off emojis, millions of dollars. And all we have someone like Jared that's doing it for the kids, teaching them that this builds a community of strength. If we can be self-reliant in this kind of way and technology, and it's game-changing for us as a black community. It's game-changing.
Oh man, thank you so much. Yeah, it is very humbling. I'm gonna lie, I've been crying every time I think about good guy it is for real. Like, especially like I remember like just 4 years ago when I was trying to get this stuff going. That first year is like it was real down bad. So it's like I've been actually experiencing a few things like overnight things, being able to, you know, ride those clouds, having an option to come down and out, which I always come down and stuff, and it'd be, you know, it'd be difficult trying to move like it's like a real movement. Like, when I get done doing speeches and stuff like that, some of these, students just be standing around. It don't be on no lame stuff, like, because I'd be on that with people that I really be admiring. I just like, oh, man, I don't ever want to leave them. But sometimes after I do my stuff and I just get so much energy, they just stand around looking for, like, the next piece of direction or navigation and stuff. So it's like, that's where it get real. That too, like, these brothers so hungry for the knowledge. I'd be having some of these colleges packed on days where they be closed and stuff like that. So they just show you how black people will be in college will be doing positive stuff in Ferguson or wherever. It's just, they just got to, you know, connect with somebody that's real that they want to do it with like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of blacks out there that's doing a lot of positive things. And that's the good part about it. But we was I wanted you to explain to the audience, you know, exactly how you fit in the STEM program with your program.
Gotcha. So with STEM, that's an acronym for just focusing on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And they kind of came out like around the late 80s from my research on it. And really a lot of people, that's like the main thing when you're talking about any like key areas of education. So with us, we like to take the path of course, like engineering, and we like software engineers. So what we develop is websites, apps, video games, search engines, cryptocurrencies, different things like that. So what we do, we partner with local colleges, local organizations, as well as selective schools, and we really just, just introduce our program that we have to offer, which are individual classes or lit tech camps that we just launched early this year. And we just really teach students how to, build like the skills that we'll be hiring for in the future, or that we know companies that hiring pretty strong in today's market are looking for. And really just trying to increase these numbers and stuff like that. When I was in New York, I seen that we had to go to this little thing with ScriptEd, and they was an awesome organization, but they had these statistics out, and they was doing it in a good way to increase them, so they was awesome. But I had seen it. This was in 2015, so the numbers may increase since, but they said nationally, Hispanics and black males combined only make 2% of black technology-owned companies. So I just wanted to help increase those numbers because I didn't know they was that low. So it's like, the numbers high and all the other type of stuff, entertainment, sports, all this good stuff. But it's like with technology, that's how that is. So what we had to do to actually get that stamp to really kind of be verified in St. Louis, even though St. Louis isn't an Android-focused city, we had to get it recognized. And what we did was basically an app for a company that was funded partially by Google. And then after we developed that application, we got to be showcased by another company that Google, the Entrepreneurs Department, was powering. And then from there, we was able to get a little bit of national recognition, made a nice sale to Balenciaga last year. And then we used those funds to start building our digital currency platform that we have now called the Kyla Coin. And then that's what we're using now to kind of continuously increase our fundraising to develop this VR app. Once we develop this virtual reality application, we'll be targeting our next market, which would be students, at home, and really, just making sure that these students at home can, like, learn about, like, whatever they need to learn about using our VR app. And that's why we're partnering with bigger companies, and be talking about this moving forward next month at this Best Buy headquarters in Minnesota. So that's kind of like the whole little path with it. And once we get to our VR app and start building stuff, maybe 5 years after that, we'll go to the next stage. But that's like my main thing right now, getting to this VR stage.
That's impressive.
Very, very impressive.
And the fact that you have a plan, even though you say you're listening, you're following God and God is giving you guidance, but he's also installed a plan within you so you know which direction he's guiding. Right, so I think it's really impressive because, first of all, at your age, second of all, you're chocolate like me and John, and so you just don't see African-American, black, I like to say black, I know it's politically correct to say African-American, but I like black, and you don't see that many black people in technology, science, mathematics, and what's really amazing is that that's our gift. We excel in that. Whenever you do find an African-American or a black person in any of those fields, they excel. I think about Hidden Figures. Like, she was a computer, a human computer, all of those ladies, right? And that's not even with all this technology that we have today. They were just shooting out numbers like computers. So it's just interesting that we got to realize how valuable, how smart, how needed we are, not only in our community, but in this world, period. And some of these fields that we need to tackle more, John, you always talk about carpentry and electricians and plumbers. Those are good paying jobs, but they're not glamorous enough for us. And I used to laugh at the trash man because the trash man told me the other day how much he made. I laughed. I was way back in my mama's house. I said, oh, a joke on me. That's what I get, being smart. But so trash men don't laugh because they got pensions and they got a whole bunch going on. You know, but these are like trades that nobody really wants to. I don't want to be no trash. I don't want to be no janitor. I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to find something to do. Whatever it is.
Right.
If you're going to be a janitor, be the best janitor. If you're going to be the teacher, be the best teacher. But we are capable of doing so much more. We just got to trust it and step out. And I'm glad that you're just putting it in so many young people's face, because I'm sure when they realize they just built an app, they can't stop smiling, right?
Oh, yeah, they be amped. Yeah, I'm glad you said that about being humble, because, like, staying humble, like, I know when I was first starting off trying to develop my network, I'm watching things like, you know, just like I knew, like, the only person who had a real positive network in my life at that time was my mom, so I had to just start networking with people she was at work with and just start going from there. So a few events that she had to, of course, assist in as an employee where she worked at the time, I used to volunteer for them companies, and I'd be like the coachman or something like that, just hanging up everybody's coats, staying downstairs when they're getting big fundraisers, hearing everybody little feet run and little silverware drop on the plate and them clapping because they got the numbers, but not seeing nothing, but just remembering, like, you know, I'm going to start down here, but I'm going to keep coming up. So it's like now, like next month, I'm a highlighted speaker to be on the talk about this recycling the black dollar using cryptocurrency at this Best Buy headquarters, which is pretty big, especially at their headquarters and things like that. So that's like, that is kind of good too to, you know, don't just kind of come in just trying to run and just move like a bullet, because you know each level of it and things like that. And even you know, trying to do jobs like at Labor Ready, as I was doing my Kyler.io stuff, doing little trash man jobs here and there, getting a little quick $100 for the day. But it's just like, you know, but now it's like different and stuff. But it's like, got to be humble no matter, because you got to, you know, you still got to make stuff happen even if it ain't popped yet. But that was the thing that I was doing, just staying focused on something, not doing it for the money. So now that part coming in a little bit, you know, more this year, it's just like, that's a blessing, but it's like, we don't, you know, it ain't really about that.
You got to stay hungry. As soon as you stop being hungry, you get too comfortable.
That's right. And Ms. J was talking about, I always talk about carpentry and plumbing, and I do, you know, because like building and trade, I was in building and trade at one time. But what a lot of people don't understand, especially the younger generation, building and trade have changed also. It's because everything, modern technology done made this thing here way much easier to do. Now, these days, they're building a whole side of a house. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like manufacture it now. And that's what, you know, so building in trade, you got to get into modern technology now these days. There's no carpenter apprentice. It's not like it was when I was a carpenter apprentice. It's way more advanced.
And then in different areas too. And I'll just kind of reply on that briefly. But we got connected with the Clayco Corporation, and they were just kind of telling us about not really decrease that dramatically, but just still seeing like the era of the baby boomers and how a lot of those people in those times were more like with construction and development, highways and all of that type of stuff. So to continue pushing those type of, I guess, future developers and getting those type of people prepared, they want to partner with us, and we will be partnering with them so we can start teaching and bringing some of our students over to the Clayco Corporation and teaching them how to use their virtual reality technology for construction development, highways, parks, and stuff like that. So, I definitely respect what you're saying on that one, because it is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though, because you're combining two worlds, two different generations. I'll say two worlds, two different generations, however you want to verbalize it. But you're connecting to your bridge, because, you know, you're connecting two worlds pretty much. And that's great, and that's what we need. We need to, you know, like when you're out there with those kids, you're connecting the bridge and they never thought they could cross over. You know what I mean? Like, you're on this side and they on one side, and you just put this bridge there and say, come on over. You know, a lot of times people really don't believe how great they are. And, like, you're putting it in their face, like, man, you got this, or you can learn, or you can be this, or I'm going to hire you, you know, as we grow, if you keep this up. I mean, you're giving them hope. And I think that is, like, the biggest thing is giving them hope with education. Because one thing about education, they can't take it away from you. Once you talk to you, it is yours forever.
That's right, Ms. J. They can't take that away from you.
They took everything else. They done changed our names. Girl took our land. Reparations. I'm just kidding. But, you know, but they could never take, you know, they remember those songs that were passed down from generations. They remember one person taught the other family member how to read and write. Once they got that information, that they did everything else to take. They took everything else away from them, but they couldn't take that knowledge.
Mm. Yeah.
That is you was just telling the audience you know I considered you to be a young man, 28 years old.
Yeah.
Now, what like your friends and stuff around your age bracket, what are they saying about what you're doing?
That's a good question. So, let me think. It's a few folks that I still connect with and things like that. But at this point right now, it's like anybody from my high school. There's it's a few people that you know that I'm connected with, but it's not. I don't know. I ain't really focused on that network like that no more, because it was like thinking about stuff, how I got connected with a lot of people is like off location and, you know, business decisions and stuff. When I'm connecting students and things like that, they can, you know, connect and integrate and have an experience and be great friends or just do the workshop and have a great time and continue to move forward in life. So it's like now that I'm looking at just how different students moving in different buildings and stuff like that, I ain't really, you know, gravitating too much to it like that. But there are a few of them that's like, you know, you was always, you know, was quiet doing your homework and stuff like that, you know, and what people saying stuff. But, you know, but I was quiet, though. A lot of folks thought I was dumb, so they were just like, you know, when this part kick in again? But what's unfortunate in a crazy way, and I hate to say this, but some of my real childhood friends that I grew up with, I had seen some of them the other day because I just been, like, since I launched Kyla.io, I haven't been going to no funerals and nothing like that, and kind of just made sure I didn't kind of, like, stayed out the way a lot. So when they really see me, they don't really know too much about what's going on the internet unless they following me like that. So, you know, a lot of my friends been, for some reason, been thinking I've been got killed or something like that. They're like, I heard this, you know what I'm saying? Well, why? So as they've been seeing me and hearing my voice and stuff, for the, my real ones, that's kind of crazy. Like, oh, nah, it's still going up. They hearing about other friends that passed that got the name Jared and things like that. So, man, it's crazy. You know how people be, like, you still young. Some folks ain't looking at it like that. Like, you got people trying to set you up, and you got a lot of haters and stuff like that. So, it kind of changed up, too. You can't really be trusting folks like that when you, you know, it just changed up. It's still, like, cracking. So, my network, when I started connecting with my mom and her network of people she worked with, I just kept making sure, but the people in my network, I just keep it brief. They see some people that see me and be like, "What's Kyla.io?" They just don't even know nothing about it. But some folks have seen me, man, that's great stuff and all that. But like, they can't say nothing but, you know what I'm saying? I know, you know what I'm saying, but positive stuff. So
yeah,
that I ain't giving them nothing to see or hear about. That's not great.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I asked you that question, and the reason for that is because, like, most of the time, stuff what you're doing, that's so advanced to where as though a lot of people can't comprehend that.
Oh, yeah, they don't want to do it.
Right. And so, you know, it's only a selective few that you're going to be able to pick up and put them in your arm and carry them along with you and teach them, you know,
yeah.
But it's going to grow. See, you at the infancy stage right now. especially in your African American communities, because this is something we don't teach our children. We know what I'm saying, is in his infancy stage, you're going to do nothing but grow. And a lot of people is not going to be able to see that. But don't give up. Keep doing it, man. I'm serious. Keep doing it, because this is something I see. You explained something to me that I didn't really see that was going on in the black communities, what you're doing. And as you explain it, now I see. And now I see where it's coming from.
And I'm going to be real. I'll be real with you, my brother. And there's nothing, I'm just giving examples of mentalities, as Dame Dash would say. But, even with my mom, I've shown her ways, okay, mom, this is where, and you don't have to do it, but I have a complete different argument. I got a real aggressive desire to be successful. Now, in my situation, it's not her having to work for me, with me, or nothing to benefit in no type of way, but just as she has a strong interest in what I have, what I got going on, and of course financially growing in business, when I'm showing her, seeing how they still go to set limitations versus expectations, and all that, I'm comfortable and stuff like that with this stuff. You don't have to be comfortable, because it's just an idea. It's like, so some people I've shown, you can do this, and they still go, no, I want to go over here for $6 an hour, even though I'm seeing this for $2,000 or $3,000 a day, I'm going to go do this for $9 an hour while I'm limited by 12 hours versus my, and it's just crazy. So it's like some of the stuff, it is kind of like that, but like that, I ain't about to stop, because, some folks get it after a while, and then they ask questions like, you think I could put some of this money into this? And it's like, why would you ask yourself, could you be financially empowered? Just being more conscious with it. So I kind of have today I seen a pastor, I just had to tell him to be a little bit more firm. You're too loose. We need people to be more firm. So even if you don't understand what I'm saying, don't play around with what we're doing right now. Just be serious with this movement. You see these old ladies coming out here on Ferguson with these breathing machines on and all this type of stuff, and you just running around acting so loose and stuff like that, as if you more important or something than some of these people that lost their life really trying. So that'd be irritating too. Is if you don't understand tech and you ain't gonna be a guru with me in this, whatever you feel like you should be a master in, it could be a fighter, a police, a pastor, whatever, then take it serious and be the master of it, but don't play around with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It don't even be about the technology for real. It'd be about perfection and trying to perfect the character and whatever they in. And it's the same process, the same recipe. If you don't follow it, you ain't going to be great. Because it's not really about, the technology. It's about them not approaching science and math like that. And that's what we had that's a bad problem.
Right.
That's why, I just flipped $10 to $1,000 legally. The customer would love to talk about why they paid $1,000 and how cheap that is for them. But on some street stuff, can't nobody flip nothing for $10 to $300,
right,
not for $1,000. So it's not about. See, some people is like, man, Jared, this is how you as a young. This is how you double your money. We got to stop thinking about it like that. From 10 to 20,
right.
No, 10 to 1,000. You can't do that with only using addition, math, multiplication, and stuff like that. So that's my thing. You got to approach science and science and math.
Okay,
you
got to
be aggressive with it.
We only got 1 minute left on the talk show. Okay, so I'm going to ask Ms. J to start closing us out.
Okay, I didn't mean to laugh, but he was so passionate. I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, I did like that, too. When I'm talking about something that I really love to talk about, I just go for it. So I had to laugh, so forgive me. But, Jared, if you had something positive to say about, STEM, whatever that you're teaching young people to the audience, what would that be? To encourage the parents to have their children get involved.
Yeah, I would say just get involved, because kids love making video games and, I love playing video games and, using apps and stuff, but it would be great to learn how to build a video game or build the app to potentially be a very successful person in technology. And, it's just great, and, they could do what they love, and the money will follow. It's going to be safe. We haven't had any students. Within our things, there's been students outside, of course, once they leave. But just within our little ecosystem in our world, no one's been getting hurt. anything like that, and everybody successfully completes it at the end. So it builds, like you said, hope, confidence, self-esteem, and it's great. And we got a lot of partners across the nation that's looking to hire these students as they continue to get older. So we got a workforce program that's with it as well.
Okay.
So I think it'll be great to be a part of.
Awesome. Thank you. And John L. Brown.
Okay. Thank you for coming on, Jared. But Ms. J, get with Jared and see if he can come back on the show, because this is very, very informative. But we need you to come back on, Jared. Would you do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Back to you, Ms. J.
And I get a company to pay for us to do it.
Okay.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us this evening. Oh, sorry, Mr. John. I thought I heard you say back to me. I apologize to you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope you learned something about STEM. We're going to bring Jared back on to be more in-depth, just concentrating on STEM and different projects. So thank you very much again. Have a great evening. You could have been anywhere else, but you was with us, and we thank you. Peace and blessings.
All right. Good night.